When we see a fire burning, we react to the present, and that usually will lead us to a solution. Same can't be said for the fire that we see in our society today. There are those who call themselves Christians, yet are doing some very un-Jesus-like actions, threats against liberties, threats against non-whites, access, education, many of the other aspects that we consider to be elements of a democracy. My next guest says in his new book that the answer to this endangerment of the foundation of America can only be achieved when the past is looked at and, more importantly, understood. This is what he presents in his book, Defending Democracy from Its Christian Enemies. He's Distinguished University Professor of Christian Ethics at Mercer University. Professor David Gushy, how are you today, sir?
I'm good, Chris. How are you?
Good to have you here, especially with the ideas and the refinement and the better defining of the issue that you present in Defending Democracy from Its Christian Enemies. David P. Gushy, GUSHEE.com. I don't know if I'm doing a spelling bee because it's also linked to their homepage. And learn more about the educational opportunities, Mercer University, Mercer.edu. I have been talking about on this show frequently a group of people that I've referred to, as others have, as white Christian nationalists. In your book, you term the clique as authoritarian reactionary Christianity. What's the difference, or is the term you use a better, more accurate definition based on the history of what this movement is all about?
Well, you know, I feel like it's an advance in understanding of what we're actually dealing with. So my language says that we're talking about a Christian population in the U.S. and in several other countries, actually, who are reactionaries, that is, deep, set, visceral, negative reaction to cultural changes that they don't like. So they're reactionaries, and they are now turning to authoritarian politics and politicians to reverse these changes, and some of them pose a threat to democracy because they're not. If democracy is not going to get them what they want, they're considering going around, over, or beyond democracy to achieve their goals.
I wanted to make this clear too, that this isn't an indictment of Christianity as a faith. It's almost, would it be fair to say this is sort of like, if you look at things in the political side of things, this would be a Trump Republican versus a Reagan Republican type of situation?
Yeah, I think that's true. Just as there has been a battle in the soul of the Republican Party, there's a battle for the soul of American Christianity. And this authoritarian reactionary Christianity does not represent most Christians, or even most, I think, theologically conservative Christians, but it's a kind of a combination, a toxic combination of really traditionalist moral values and a sense that democracy may need to be gone around or overthrown to accomplish the moral and religious goals that these folks have. And Donald Trump, of course, is a big part of the story because he has essentially been promising that for a while, and he's their guy.
And what your book helped me realize, too, is it wasn't something that he ignited. It's something he just simply tapped into.
Right. The reactionary thing, I think I show in the book, that Christians being negatively reactive to cultural changes goes back hundreds of years. But especially the most relevant time horizon is since the 60s. Think about, I urge your listeners to think about people that you know who don't have a positive word to say about anything that has happened in our country since about 1962, right?
Yeah.
That's who we're talking about. You know, again, they're against feminism, they're against abortion, they're against homosexuality, they're against, maybe if they're willing to admit it, maybe civil rights and the way our country has moved there, they're against modern immigration, et cetera. They don't like any of it, and they've become convinced that our democracy is part of the problem because our democracy continues to deal them defeat after defeat. So I would think there's been a gradual souring, certainly a deep souring on American culture, which is seen as deeply decadent, and maybe a gradual disillusionment with democracy providing any kind of a solution. And so here, you know, when when both intellectuals and activists and then also politicians say, well, maybe democracy is not so non-negotiable after all, then you're in a very dangerous place.
You look at the scene, too, where you have not just people on the outside of faith who claim to be part of the faith, but people actually within the faith. You see notable named pastors who were just going along with the authoritarian aspects of what you write about in defending democracy from its Christian enemies. And that just adds to, I guess, for the minds who are looking for certification, when you see someone from a pulpit agreeing with them, that gives them not just certification, but justification.
Yeah, I mean, leadership always matters. And there were pastors who were applauding the January 6th insurrection, and there are pastors who would be willing to support the weakening or the erosion of our democracy if they believed it would help them accomplish these moral and religious goals that they think are so important. I'm hearing ideas out there that are more and more radical. I've been following American politics and religion and politics for 30 years, and the atmosphere is more radicalized than I've ever seen it. So it's a very alarming time.
Yeah, we've come a long way from Billy Graham trying to counsel Richard Nixon, have we not?
We have, and even a long way from Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson saying, let's work with Reagan and you know, get a kind of a partnership going with the Republicans, because those were Democratic strategies. Insurrection and Proud Boys and, you know, overturning elections and stuff, those aren't Democratic strategies.
Well, tied around following someone who more and more is all but directly quoting Adolf Hitler in his speeches. Now we're talking with David P. Gushee, author of the book Defending Democracy from Its Christian Enemies. He is also a distinguished university professor of Christian ethics at Mercer University. DavidPGushee.com, Mercer.edu, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. We always look at America as solid, firm, moving forward. Backsliding was not an option. It seems like, well, actually, in your book, you do look at the history in nations like France, like Germany, Brazil, and other locations. Backsliding into darkness, Poland, Hungary, Brazil, for example, backsliding into a darkness is very possible for any nation, isn't it?
It is. This is what's been so shocking. I think we took our democracy here for granted. I think we assumed, for example, that elections and their results would be trusted, that people would leave power voluntarily when they lost, that violence would not become a part of our political atmosphere where people are afraid to stand up against somebody because they're afraid of being harmed. And I think we always assumed that our really old, really sturdy democracy would make it from one election to the next, from one generation to the next. But you cannot assume that. Human history does not give us reason to think that anything is permanent. And you can make a series of wrong turns in any country. And so my book gives examples of the erosion of democracy in other countries, and it can happen here.
And
I think we're very much at risk that it is happening here.
And you structure it very well for any reader to really absorb it, because you break it down by country by country in each of the chapters. And also your book is of great value because you also help us understand there's an answer in history, that we can preserve what we have and repair what is being broken by those who pretend to be something that they're not. And you point that out as well in your book, which I don't want you to give away here, obviously. But as far as, you know, the importance of understanding an answer, you should be certainly congratulated for doing that, because other people just like to point out to the problem and say, okay, that'll be $39.95 for the hard copy, $15.95 for the ebook.
Yeah. I do think the book offers some hope, because you might say it retraces the history of how Christians who came from authoritarian backgrounds, most of them in terms of the history of Christian politics and Christian church-state relations, how Christians gradually in the 18th century and thereafter came to embrace democracy, came to make arguments for democracy and to see that it was the best available political system, and that Christians, as Christians, should support it. And so the book does offer resources, I think, that we need right now, because the memory of that history has been lost. We need to retrieve it.
It is certainly a book where it takes history and puts it to use in the here and now with answers through understanding that will hopefully prevent the further progression of what we are seeing by the false Christians and the not so leading leaders that they seem to want to attach themselves to, and also call out those in the pulpit I referenced before, who I have a huge problem with by defiling that pulpit by promoting what we are seeing treated in a positive way, which I think most rational people think is anything. But the book is Defending Democracy from Its Christian Enemies. You can find it through your favorite means of getting a book online. If you're one of those odd people that have a bookstore that you can actually physically go to, you get it there as well. It is valuable reading that you will be able to absorb and gain the understanding, and it will explain a lot. It will give you the answers to a lot of questions you probably have and why what is happening today is happening. And as I said, most importantly, it gives you answers that can be looked to for a secure, more stable future for the country. DavidPGoshi.com. He is a distinguished university professor of Christian ethics at Mercer University. Their website, mercer.edu. David, thanks so much for this knowledge that you provide, and I hope a lot of people absorb it and, more importantly, put it to use. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for wanting to talk with me. I appreciate it.